We have something different happening tonight, because the one and only Patrick is going to share, which is not our norm, but he had a really cool experience a couple months ago that has left some stuff on his heart that he thought was relevant to share with our community. And so we said, let's do that. So I'm just gonna pray for him. He can pray on his own too, but like it's, you know, it's new for all of us and getting up is always weird. So Lord, I thank you that you speak to Patrick and that you have opened his eyes and his heart to some really important things. And I pray, Lord, that your spirit would communicate even beyond what he is able to communicate and that we would hear from you in a meaningful way. Thank you that he's part of our community, and I pray you'd give us listening ears. Amen.
So I don't have a printer, and I couldn't print anything out, and my computer apparently doesn't want to connect to any internet, so this is my message on a phone. I'm not just looking at my phone the whole message.
I'm so now.
And you can't connect to the internet and your message on Google Drive. It's how do you, all right.
Yeah,
exactly.
I like that point.
Doodaloo. What's this message? Doodaloo. Oh, dang it.
Perfect.
Yeah. How do I even set myself up here?
I'm incapable of
setting it up
well.
Yeah. Can I wear this? Come on, internet. I used to start stories this way, with a single A chord. This song means a lot to me. I was raised by fire ants. And that's usually how my stories would start, is some weird transition. No, I was not. But that's not how I meant to start this message. But to answer your question, I've been working, this is my job for a long, long time has been either construction or barista or something. And I've always had something between me and somebody else, and usually a belt, a work belt or an apron or something. This is a little comforting because it's a barrier and a counter. And all of that. That's true. That's true. But this is familiar. So, all right. Oh, I apologize. It's been a busy day. I've had the kids by myself most of the day, the four kids. It's been a very busy day. At one point, there was quiet in the kitchen, and I knew my children were there. And so I went there, and I said, what's going on? And they turned around with giggles, and they threw an egg at me. And it bounced off me and cracked into the baby food I just warmed up. And then they went down to get another one, and they were about to throw another one. And I totally, because it was funny, but I couldn't laugh and encourage it, so I... You know, stop, stop, and it cracked and went to the floor. And then it's like, okay, now we need to clean this up. And they started cleaning that up. And I said, okay, David, please take that towel, put it in the dirty clothes. And he left, and he didn't come back for longer than what I expected. And so I went, and he wasn't there. Where's David? And I heard giggles from the bathroom. Look what I did. And I went in there, and he put the towel in the toilet. So then, it's funny, right? But also infuriating, and it was crazy. And then I went to their room, and there was throw up on the floor. And I go, "What? Whose is this? This is David's. When did this happen? This is before everything happened." And then I can't remember. There's other things like that happened today. It's all very relevant that I tell you this because the first sentence in my message is, I have a busy life, an ever-changing life, with a larger family than I ever grew up knowing, and I don't always know how to navigate my time or my emotions or self-care. But all of that said, this little story, I love my life, and I love God, and I find it difficult to foster my relationship with him like I once had. And I love my wife, and I find it difficult to foster our relationship like I once had. And I love my children and my friends, and life is busy. And you get the point. It's difficult to do the things that I once could. So, with all that said, I was hitting a breaking point last November. Nothing really serious. I really needed time with God because I wasn't connecting. I didn't feel connected. And so last November, I embarked on a journey out of desperation. Desperation. It's... Well, that's just the definition of desperation. So my journey of desperation to connect with God again. I'm going to back up just a second and give you a bird's eye view of my thought process minus my ADHD. I love adventure. Like, at the core of me, I love adventure. And I've been reading a lot of Lord of the Rings recently as well. And I think at the heart of me, I'm like any other hobbit. I love stories and songs and fellowships with friends and family, times of full of laughter and food and beer. But the Tookish Baggins in me, I think, is more about the meaning of it all. Not so much like this, the rush, but the meaning of it all. And I think deeply about things, which can be a good thing. You know, the why, the what ifs, why am I here? They all could be big questions, and most of the time they are. But I ask them often. Like I said, it can be a good thing. But I really do love the investigation of all that stuff. But like my difficulty fostering relationships like I once had, these thoughts can lead to desperation. With most questions, Matt, could you bring my backpack up here? I just need my water bottle. So with most questions, there seems to be a great burden associated with the asking, I suppose, if we really want to know the answer to these questions. And the question that always remains with me is, who am I, and is this reflective of what God intended? And the burden that I usually feel is, maybe I'm wrong. Now, let me clarify a bit the maybe I'm wrong as a question, because I ask this really humbly to myself, and I can acknowledge that some might flinch at the maybe I'm wrong, but it's said not out of condemnation or anything. Just so you're aware, if you have a different question you ask yourself, it may look differently than the way that I'm asking it. So, guitar in hand. Back to my journey of desperation and meaning making. So those are the two things inside me that came to a head last November. Because in the past, I've heard God's voice. I've been in his heavy, heavy presence, feeling both terror and joy at the same time, and I've gotten prophetic words that have rocked my sense of time and relationship and meaning. And then I got busy, with good things mostly, but busy nonetheless. So in my desperation, I searched for things that reminded me of the past or from my past that could revitalize my relationship with God again. I looked back to the beginning, even when I finished high school. I worked at a family camp for the summer, and I lived in nature, and I worshipped in the trees, you know, or Lothlorien or whatever. Sorry, Lord of the Rings. And then in that fall, I moved to Alaska, More Nature, where I embarked on a discipleship training school through Youth with a Mission, or YWAM. And it was there that I met Bobby Connor. He was and is still a traveling prophet. I didn't know exactly how that was supposed to work back then. Gosh, this feels awkward. I'm sorry. But I found out quickly as he walked the aisles of church, Bible in hand, talking about something godly and important. He would turn randomly and talk to someone that was nearby. He'd give them something they needed to hear or pray for them. And it was one of these passes through the aisles that he stopped at me. "You love stories. You're going to be a great storyteller," he said. And there was more he said. I know, but I can't remember it now. And I do love stories. And I'm not sure I've done the best to foster that encouraging word in my life. But at that time, I was heavy into folklore and children's storytelling, trying my own hand at that world and that business. So when I found him online last summer, I said, "Yes, he said true things in my life, and I know he hears from God. I need to hear from God, and I'm far too cluttered to focus." The closest city he was going to speak at was in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, so I made plans for South Dakota in November. I don't have a lot of expendable income, so I searched around online, Google mapped everything, and I found a convent that was in Sioux Falls. And I thought, why not? So I called him up, and I asked if I could stay with them for a few days while I attended a conference in town. "Sure," they said. "Is there a cost at all I should be aware of?" "Oh, no, you can donate to the sisters when you get there if you want, but there's no cost." "All right, great. Well, I'll see you soon." So I drove to South Dakota, and it was long, and it was flat, and it was gray because it was November, of course. And it was cold, but I shivered there, not out of cold, but really out of anticipation. Because in the drive, it was really just I want you to speak to me, God. I would pray just awkwardly, you know. I want direction. I want you. I want a sense that you're really there and not as checked out as I have been. Sorry. So, you know, I was desperate. And I was trying to figure it out. And I was going somewhere to get the answer. I arrived at the convent built in stone. It was larger than I imagined. And it was connected to a nursing college they built about a century ago. I woke the old sleeping sister at the front desk when I walked in the front door, because it was quiet there. And really, my heart began to leap for joy at the peace that I felt was in store for me, just being there at the convent. Like I said before, so much of my life, peace was so very welcome. And this, a convent in a strange land, adventure, I started thinking. I mean, I was in South Dakota. South Dakota does not really think of venture, but then it's like, well, this is a weird place. It's a castle. And then I thought of more Lord of the Rings here. Remember Bilbo used to say, "It's a dangerous business, Frodo, going out your front door." Sorry, I won't finish the quote. But anyway, she picked up her oxygen tank and led me through to another place where she introduced me to another sister who gave me a tour of the place. And basically said that I should treat the convent as my home while I'm there. Their food was my food. These rooms were my rooms. This was my own room. There were places to sit and study and pray. And I could walk the grounds if I wanted to, but it was pretty cold outside. At every moment in that place, I was struck with this sense that it was the epitome of hospitality. That their food was my food. There's curated art on the walls. It was just so very welcoming. So that day, I had a few hours before the conference, so I talked and had dinner with the sisters and then went off. The conference was on the other side of town in a converted building in the warehouse district. Everything was wide and tall, and far away drop ceilings with fluorescent lighting, and gray, cold paint on every wall. It was a polar opposite of the warm brick and stone I was just introduced to. The people, too, they were all younger than my 80-year-old roommates I just met, which was fine, because I was so eager to see the person from my past and to hear a word from God. It just to know neither of these things just mattered. But the service started, and it was loud. Church worshiped, and the pastor came up and introduced the speaker, and Bobby walked up to present. And there he was, an older man than I remember. You know, he's 20 years older than I remember him being. But okay, there he was. I was ready. But quickly, I saw a difference from my memory, and it wasn't the Bible in his hand. It was his new book that he was presenting from. Okay, all the same, I was ready. Any moment, bam, word from God. He's going to walk down the aisle and talk to me. I was expecting it. And there he was. He was talking, and I listened, of course, and I waited, and I waited, and he said lots of good things. He talked a lot about sonship and heirship, where he explored and fleshed out our heirship in Christ, in God. And it was very good to hear. And not all of it was new, but it was still good. So there was about an hour mixed of story and verses and things. It seemed like the focus, though, was slightly amiss. And I guess there were a lot more rabbit trails than I would have hoped for. Maybe the book in his hand and not the Bible. And all in all, the message was coming across. But then about an hour in, as we were led through a series of thoughts from Bobby that served as explanation and counsel of the current events, as prophets do, his original message left, and I was dropped back into the cares and anxiety and worries that I was trying to run or heal or something from. It was the insertion of politics into his message, which was interesting because it's inspired fear when I heard all of it. Now, this is the beginning of November, so it was the midterm elections, and there was huge talk everywhere about how your local thing can make a difference in elections. But then I was struck with a reminder from 1 John. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. And I still felt alone, and yet that small spark of a reminder, perfect love drives out fear, was my guidepost for the rest of the evening. And I went back to that again, to 1 John, and I read that. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment. As in this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he's given us this commandment: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Well, I journaled and prayed all about this much of the night and the next day. I was really trying to understand this because I had more questions and why I felt so uneasy at all the things that he said. As I ask questions and I pray, the story from Genesis 3 really came to mind. Genesis 3. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it, or you'll die. You will certainly not die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "Oh, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked?" And this question, God asked, "Who told you?" began to frame my understanding of what was going on in the service. Who told you? I began to see this pattern of, like, Satan's long game of listening to lies over the years. As we fail to separate lie from truth, and sometimes that's culture from truth. There's probably a way to be a patriot and love your neighbor and know Christ, and maybe all that can happen, but I came to the conclusion that we must lay down this idea that culture is truth and that we're always right. The perfect love does drive out fear. There's so much anger and so much fear, and got to thinking maybe it was just brokenness, that's fear is brokenness, and that's sort of at the heart of it. So I saw all this, and I prayed, and I sought God, and I asked how I can help, and what can I do, and I prayed for a long time, and I was led to what Jesus said. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there's many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." But Jesus said to him, "I have been so long with you, and you have come to me now, Philip. He who has seen me and seen the Father, how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he will be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And after a little while the world no longer sees me, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me and who And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and we will disclose myself to him. Judas, who was not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give. Don't let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that, excuse me. You heard that I said to you, I will go away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now, I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, do exactly as the Father commanded me. So, as you see from my tears as I read this, I was comforted. But I felt very deeply that all these people were hurt, and they were sad, and they were fearful in this place that I was in. And so I prayed for them, and I wasn't sure if I was going to go that second night, just how uncomfortable I felt before, but I prayed for them, their hurt, their wounds. In the end, I decided to go, but before I did, I went to dinner with the nuns. All this was still heavy on my mind, and one sister turned to me a few moments after we sat down at the dinner table. It was quiet, of course. There's the five of us sitting there. She said, well, Patrick, is there anything you'd like to share from your day? And all the eyes were on me, and I paused, but eventually I told them all I was thinking about. And then they were quiet. And I thought at first it was because what I said offended them or made them uncomfortable, they didn't understand. But after a few minutes, sisters that asked me the question, she cocked her head and offered her thoughtful response to all of it. And then they each had a word of counsel or perspective, and I really felt honored by it all. When I got to the conference, I came in praying, and I prayed over that place, and I prayed over the people, and I walked through the doors, prayed that peace would be on them, that they would hear the voice of God that had made his home in them. When the pastor came up after the worship, he began to speak to the congregation what God was telling him. And he began to list the exact things that I had been praying for. He felt led to pray for healing of the church, that there was brokenness, that we needed to hear from God. And I was blown away again. And suddenly I had one of those moments you see at the climax of a movie where they go through all of those scenes again. They just take the movie and condense it into 3 seconds where you see that main character has been, you know, helped by that other person the entire time. God had been with me that whole time, orchestrating everything. I realized in that moment that my extreme desperation for God to speak to me, to give me peace, to give me his undivided attention, to feel his glory was good. But he knew better. I wanted peace. I wanted a word from this guy. But I got a castle of nuns that gave me peace. And I wanted Bobby to come and speak to me, but it was really God who brought me along. And we labored together in love, together, to pray and intercede for these people. I needed the reminder that God is always present, always loving, and willing to give himself. But it may not be what we want or expect, but it was what I needed. So it was quite an experience to really partner with God in that and intercede with him. And I wasn't a very forward, I wasn't a very visible presence of laying out of hands of healing, or I wasn't Bobby, I wasn't prophesying, I wasn't anything more, but I was this presence of intercession that led hundreds of people, hopefully, deeper into a knowledge and a relationship with God. And I guess if anything, it was I learned so much just in that moment of realizing it's easy to say, God, I need you, and him to respond, but it's hard. It took a weekend of going to South Dakota, out of my comfort zone, to really see where he was working inside of me, like how he was doing it. Because we could have been anywhere, and I could have had that revelation and been praying and still partnering with God in prayer for people. It's how wonderful prayer is. There's so much more I guess I could say, but my internet was down and I didn't write anything else, and I'm ad-libbing now, but just how wonderful it was. And I asked for revitalization, and it came. I asked for life, and he came. And it came in prayer. It came in him, and it just, they're never unanswered. It always shows up. It was beautiful, and I'm always on the edge of tears in this whole thing. I'm sorry, but does anyone have any questions? Julia. Life is still busy. But I'm still, I see you, blown away by where he can meet me in the moments where my kids are throwing eggs at me, where I'm about to lose it or I lose it, and I'm reminded of his care on my life and his care of my children, even though I made a bad choice. He's just that much closer. And I read John 14 because, goodness, I love the idea that he's living inside me and that he made his home there. And he said it. And it's just, how can I be far away? How can he be far away? It's continued to pull me closer to him even when I'm distracted and busy with life. Did you have a question? It was today. It was this morning. Well, thank you for listening to my story, how scattered it was. It was quite an adventure in my November of 2018. And Lord bless you.